Praise the Lord. He is worthy of all our praise, all of our worship. Amen. So thankful to Brother and Sister Blue again. They have continued to minister through great adversity, physical adversity. And I appreciate that spirit that presses ahead. Amen. Let's make them feel welcome this morning. Could you give them a welcome this morning? Amen.
Well, how about everybody say, praise the Lord. We worship and praise Him this morning, don't we? And thank you. We're so glad to be here. Our annual pilgrimage to Union Road for 14 years now, middle of July. We've made our way this direction, and hard to believe that all those years have come and gone, but we're glad to be back among you today. And glad to have my wife with me. She's over there. And right beside her is our grandson, Cole. No, he's not right beside you. Cole has left the house. But he's somewhere around here, and his brother will be joining us tonight. They're coming from a different camp. So we'll look forward to having two of our grandsons with us this week. And a wonderful blessing for us to make them a part of our memories of Camp Dove. So really glad again to be here and make our annual pilgrimage, which includes a Saturday night stop at the Hearst House. And we always arrive Saturday evening and have dinner with them, and always a good time of fellowship, and felt right at home last night as they had all of their grandkids running around and enjoying themselves. And we thought back to just 2 weeks ago. We had all four of our grandchildren stay with us for a whole week. I didn't say anything. But had a wonderful time with them. And so grandkids are your reward for not killing your own kids. So you get a second chance at it. But anyways, we're glad to be here. And as Pastor's already said, we've had a few infirmities and afflictions. You might remember last year at this time, we came here directly from the hospital. Sister Blue had just been in the hospital for 4 days with a kind of a rare condition called vasculitis, and it took several months for her to heal up from that. And right after we left Camp Dove, or just a few days anyways, maybe a couple of weeks, she got pneumonia, and then she had a blood clot, and then she broke her foot, and then she broke a rib. And right now she's battling with her second bout of bronchitis. And forgive me, but it reminds me of that story that you might have heard about the two men sitting on the porch of the farmhouse when this old dog come walking down the driveway. And he only had three legs, so he was limping. His tail was gone. One of his ears was missing, and he was all scratched up. And one of the men said to the other, "My, whose dog is that?" And he said, and the other man said, "That's my dog." He said, "What in the world's happened to him?" He said, "Well, he gets in a lot of scrapes." Said he lost his ear in a fight with the neighbor dog, lost his tail in a fight with a coyote out back here, and lost his leg in a run-in chasing cars down the road. And so described all of his various conditions. And his neighbor then asked him, "Well, what's the dog's name?" And he said, "Lucky." I've sort of nicknamed my wife Lucky, but minus the dog part. I'm not. Talking with, and of course, I've just been through major surgery and had two of those in the last year and a half myself. So, but we don't testify of luck here this morning. We testify of grace. And you might look at the troubles and trials of life and you think, what do we testify about there? There's nothing good in that. And you might want to be avoiding Brother and Sister Blue this week in fear that it might be contagious, you know. condition, but last night coming in from our walk out back of the Hurst house, Brother Hurst and I visiting around his pond and then back and talking about how that scripture where the Apostle Paul sought the Lord three times that he might be delivered from the affliction that he had. And the Lord's answer to him was, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And as he reasoned with the Lord about that grace and sufficiency, Paul said, "Now I've learned now to glory in my infirmities, that the power of God might be made manifest in me." I don't say that I've got to that place yet, that we've got to that place yet, what we glory in our infirmities, but I can tell you this, that oftentimes we miss it concerning the blessings of God. The blessings of God are not visible in the absence of infirmity. The blessings of God are visible in our endurance in those infirmities. And we can testify, as the song that we have sang for many years, "I've had many tears and trials. And I've had questions, or many tears and sorrows and questions for tomorrow. And there's been times that I didn't know what to do, but through it all. How many of you can testify that this morning? Why don't you lift your other hand up and just praise the Lord that through it all, you found His grace is sufficient for us. Thank you, Lord. We appreciate Your presence. Thank You for this wonderful service. And now we ask for Your blessing upon the reading of Your word, and that if You would help us to preach today, that You would speak to some heart in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody say amen. Amen. Grab your Bible, if you will, and turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. And if you wouldn't mind to stand for the reading of the scripture, we'll read 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 10. And I'll just say, I'm going to follow that theme of grace. I just mentioned that from 2 Corinthians. Paul said, God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." But I want to say a little bit more today, if the Lord will help me, on grace. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7, just to put it in context, Peter says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the grace, but the God of all grace," I like that, don't you? Amen. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen." And once again, the church say amen. Amen. And you may be seated, because we've already prayed. And so let's just jump right in here this morning. I want to encourage you to embrace grace today. Amen. Embrace grace. The God of all grace. Embrace the God of all grace. Hallelujah. We love this word, and we sing about it often. It's immortalized in one of our favorite hymns, "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound." And we're thankful today for the grace of God. But I think that sometimes if we're not careful, we can allow grace to feel to us like a filler word in the Bible or a filler word in our vocabulary. But the grace of God is rich in promise and help for us today if we will receive it. The grace, the word grace appears 159 times in the Bible, 122 times in the New Testament. So we know that it's primarily a New Testament word, but it is not limited to the New Testament. For even Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so we know that it is found even in the Old Testament. And while this little five-letter word is maybe simple to understand or define, it's hard to grasp as well. And in some definitions, grace has been turned into an acronym, GRACE, God's riches at Christ's expense. I like that definition, don't you? Amen. Grace, somebody said, is everything for nothing to those who don't deserve anything. I'm glad for the grace of God today. We struggle maybe to make a difference between mercy and grace. Mercy is the withholding of the punishment that we do deserve. Grace is the giving of the blessing that we don't deserve. Amen. To put that in a simple illustration, if you were going to have to discipline one of those children, one of those grandchildren, they might be very deserving of the punishment that is about to come to them. But if you should call them aside and some tenderness grip you in that moment of your frustration and all of that, and some tenderness grips you and you sit down with that child or grandchild and you say to them, you know what you did was wrong. You know that you deserve the spanking that you're about to get. Or you know you deserve to stand in the corner while everybody else is playing. Whatever the punishment is, you explain to them they deserve the impending doom that is coming their way. But then you surprise them and you tell them, today I'm going to show you a lesson in mercy. Even though you deserve that punishment, today I'm not going to punish you, just so that you can understand what mercy is. That God loves us so much that He shows us mercy. We deserve punishment. And when that punishment doesn't come, we're thankful for mercy. But now we go a little bit farther with our illustration and we say to that child with the tears running down their faces, they've been begging for mercy and have just been granted mercy. We say, you know what? Not only am I going to show you mercy, but today I'm going to show you grace. So not only are you going to escape the spanking, but we're going to go get an ice cream cone. Woo! Hello? I'm thankful for the mercy of God. Amen. I escaped the punishment that I deserved. But I'm so grateful and glad today. Amen. For the blessings that He has given me that I don't deserve. The grace of God. Amen. The Scripture says here that He is the God of all grace. I believe that this scripture, this perspective of the Apostle Peter is important to us. First of all, I think that he implies here that God is the inventor of grace. The God of all grace. It comes from Him. It belongs to Him. Grace is His idea. We might see grace from time to time offered in the world. It's similar to the situation I just described, or maybe people even in the world that are occasionally graceful. But just like the Bible saying to us that every good and perfect gift comes from above, grace in the world or in the church is evidence of the grace of God. He is the inventor of grace. It was His idea. He is the example of grace. He shows us what grace is all about and how to show it. But we also understand that He is the source of all grace. So whatever kind of grace we need, we know where to go for it. God is the God of all grace. Amen. And in that, seeing that He is the source of all grace, we understand that His grace, therefore, is abundant grace. That's what 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14 tells us, speaking of the abundant grace. There is more than enough. I don't know exactly. I'm at a great disadvantage when I come to a church that I haven't been to in a long time and I see new faces, and but maybe that's an advantage because I don't know your story. I don't know your need. I can speak a little bit more freely today, but I'm going to tell you that if the devil has tried to convince you that you have exhausted the grace of God, he is a liar and he's been a liar from the beginning, and there is more than enough grace still available for you. Amen. More than enough. Abundant. But not just abundant grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8 speaks of grace abounding. Grace abounding. Now, it carries with it the same idea of abundant grace, but it is a little bit more than that. Abounding seems to imply that there's an energy, a life in it that keeps multiplying. It keeps multiplying. It is abounding. You take out, amen, and instead of it being vacated, it is replaced. It is abounding to us. Now, let me pause here to tell you that we are admonished in other places. The Apostle Paul, for instance, tells us that we should not abuse the grace of God. We should not take it lightly or mistreat the grace of God. And we should not be just running in and out of sin because we know that there's more than enough grace. That would be an abuse, and that would be an insult to the grace of God. But we know that we live in a world of fallenness and brokenness. Mistakes are made. People fall into temptation. And the enemy seizes upon the opportunity to tell us that we don't deserve anything from God. God is through with us. He's abandoned us. We've gone too far this time. But I'm telling you, God's grace is abundant and God's grace is abounding. And if that will help you to recover this morning, then I pray. Praise God that He is the God of all grace this morning. Amen. And then, as we've already said, His grace is amazing. Amen. I'm glad for the abundant, abounding, amazing grace of God. But if you'll bear with me just a few minutes this morning, I want to show specifically from this verse the different phases of God's grace, or the different layers. If you think in the illustration of a cake, then this is a layer cake that's very delicious. Y'all here this morning? Amen. And it's a 5-layer cake in the way that I look at it. Or phases, maybe a more applicable term. But we need all of these different forms or phases or layers of grace, because there are so many infinite needs for it in our life. Infinite needs for grace. Not just saving grace. I'm glad that by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. But that's the starting point. And to be quite honest, Peter doesn't include that in his list here. So I'm adding it on, because we know that the first application of grace is to salvation. And so I'm grateful for saving grace. But for the one who may need forgiveness today, in other areas of your life, there's grace for that too. For the one that needs deliverance from some besetting problem and attack of the enemy, there's grace for that. Amen. For the one who needs some encouragement today, that has slid down into a deep, dark pit of discouragement, there's grace for that. Amen. There's grace for the one who is going through hard times. Somebody who has fallen down and can't seem to find the power and strength to get back up. There's grace for that today. Amen. For somebody who may be grieving, hurting in their heart, lonely or broken, there's grace for that as well. Amen. He is the God of all grace, all kinds of grace. And so saving grace is the starting place. And then Peter adds 4 more S's to the list. So I see the 5 S's of grace. Now, I understand that there really isn't an S in grace. If there was, it would make it sound more like grass. Amen. Which would be similar to the story that I heard about the cows out in the pasture who invented their theological position when they said, once in grass, always in grass. Amen. Not a theology that I hold to, and I could use that to explain it away. But we're not talking about grass. We're talking about grace. I'm glad for the grace of God this morning, the saving grace. Then Peter goes on here, and he adds, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Amen. I think, my opinion is, that list that he gave right there are all connected to what he said at the beginning of the verse, the God of all grace. The God of all grace, no matter what you're going through, the trials, the afflictions, the suffering that you're going through, when it's all said and done, the God of grace is going to, through that and in that, he's going to give you the grace that will, first of all, make you perfect. Now, that's not an S, but that translates into the word sanctify. He's going to sanctify you. So he saves you by grace, but he also sanctifies you by grace, making us a better Christian, a holier Christian, a more devout and dedicated Christian, and oftentimes uses the troubles of our life to do that. And one more thing before I get going along here. It's interesting to me. I'm not the Greek scholar. In fact, I'm intimidated to stand behind this pulpit many times because I know somebody over here that does understand the Greek and the deep meaning of words. And you're honored to have a pastor that has that depth of knowledge and understanding of the Bible and the Word of God. So I would throw this to him for further explanation. But I get the impression when I look at these root meanings that these terms here that Peter uses are all similar to carpentry terms. And I'll point that out as we go along here. But make you perfect is actually a word that would make you to think to fix something that is not perfect. And in the sense of carpentry, when a carpenter would go out and actually harvest the trees and cut off the branches, which many of you are experiencing that right now. Cutting down the trees and cutting off the branches and then taking the log to the mill or to the shop, and then you're going to saw it up into boards and they're becoming usable. You're going to make something out of it, a house or a piece of furniture, and you see it in its various phases of development. But then if you're going to make a piece of furniture like this pulpit, it obviously has to be planed down. It has to be sanded and made perfect. It's got to be made perfect. I believe that God, amen, by His grace, He planes off the imperfections of our life. And He sands us with the sandpaper of difficulties and troubles and trials. He's making us perfect, praise God. So He's shaving off the imperfections. Listen, He's the God that saves and He's the God that shaves. Amen. He wants to make us perfect. And so he is doing, and by grace He is doing that. And then He establishes us. If I revert back to this illustration of the pulpit, I really don't know for sure, but I think I've got a pretty good idea that this pulpit was not carved out of one log. I don't think that this is just one piece of wood here. In fact, I can see some of the joints here where various pieces of wood were put together. This implies that these pieces of wood are not only fixed, but they are fit. They are fit together. By God's grace, we can fit together. He's building a church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He wants us all to be a part of it. And so He wants to fit us together. And by grace, we can overcome the various personality differences. Hello. The different levels of growth and development. Hello. We can overcome various viewpoints and the undeveloped areas of all of our lives where God's still working. We need to understand that it takes the grace of God to fit us all together. Amen. I'm so glad to see Union Road doing so well. It's such a blessing to us to come back after a year's time and see how God is still working among you and blessing you and helping you. That is an illustration of the grace of God. Amen. Then He says that He will establish us and strengthen you. That's a work of God's grace. The strength of God, I've already said, that God told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, and in your weakness my strength is made perfect." Whew, this is too big for me to try to explain this morning, but I believe that God is able to strengthen us by His grace. Amen. As I have already said, I recently went through a major surgery, and during my time of recovery, received several messages of encouragement. But one day I was talking with a preacher friend of mine in Virginia, Brother Bill Prescott. Do you know the Prescotts? And a great man of God. And I was supposed to have been preaching his convention that week and obviously couldn't. So, or I guess it was the week after his convention we were talking. But he was telling me his father-in-law, Brother Ira Yates, a man of God in that area. Brother Yates is a self-taught man, very knowledgeable, written a few booklets and pamphlets, and he's a student of the Word of God. But he's got Alzheimer's now. And Brother Prescott was telling me that about the time that they diagnosed him with that dreaded disease, Brother Yates had a dream. Now, he's an elder minister, and as I said, very knowledgeable and in-depth, so this might sound like a simple illustration. But he called Brother Prescott, and he said, "I had a dream last night." He said, "It was a very, very vivid dream. I was there." And he said, "It was so real." He said, "In this dream, I got a phone call. The phone was ringing and ringing, and finally I picked it up. And there was a rough, gruff voice on the other end of the line that said, 'This is the devil. I know where you're at, and I will destroy you.'" And Brother Yates, in his dream, hung up the phone, a little intimidated, and trying to, grasp and understand what had just happened. But then in his dream, the phone rang again, and a little hesitant to answer. But he reached over and grabbed the phone and pulled it to his ear. And a sweeter voice spoke. And the voice said, "This is Jesus. I will take care of you." Amen. Ah, woo, hallelujah. Amen. Maybe an oversimplified dream, but even to a learned man of God, what encouragement that is. Amen. You're on the verge of heading into dark, troubled waters with a disease like that. Amen. The devil tries to intimidate you and make you think, "It's over, pal. You're done. I'm going to destroy you. It's going to be a very ugly, unhappy ending in your life." But to get that second phone call that comes from heaven itself, and Jesus says, "I will take care of you. Get behind me, devil. I'm weak, but He is strong. And in my weakness, His strength is made perfect." And I'm glad today for the strengthening grace of God. How about you this morning? Have you been a recipient of it? Do you know what it means to be strengthened by the grace of God? I think many of you can testify to that today, because I know some of your stories. And then finally, and by the way, that word strengthen, it means to, in the carpenter sense, it means to fasten or to nail it down. Amen. To fit it together, glue it, nail it. Amen. Fasten it. It's strengthened now. It's strong. It's not just an individual board or, something flighty. It's been fit and fastened. Fixed, fit, and fastened. And all of it is the grace of God working in our lives. And I'm grateful for that. And then it's settled. Strengthen and settle you. And that's where this thing is put on a firm foundation. Amen. It's not just the furniture in itself that is strong, but it's the foundation that it's on that adds to its strength. I'm glad for the foundation that we have in Jesus this morning. He settles us. He settles us. Amen. That's why every time we go through a trial, we're not threatening to quit and throwing in the towel and giving up at every point. We have learned enough through the years by experiencing the grace of God that this is a temporary thing. It's going to pass by after a while. And when the smoke clears or the wind ceases, whatever your analogy is, amen, we're going to be right where we once were, because we have experienced the settling grace of God. Hallelujah. Hey, man, I've got another story I'll share with you, and then we're going to close and pray. But also in my time of recovery from my surgery, I was communicating with a young preacher friend of mine out in California. We got acquainted a few years ago, and Brother Jeff Wood is his name. I don't know if any of you would know Brother Jeff here, much younger than I am, but we struck up a friendship, got better acquainted when I preached their youth camp out there in California a couple of years ago. And maybe you might have heard through social media or whatever, Brother Jeff's wife, Yesenia, had a terrible accident on the very day that I went to the hospital to have surgery. In California, Yesenia had an accident. They have five children, and they had one on the way. And in that accident, they lost the unborn child, and they lost their two-year-old girl. And Yesenia had multiple injuries, required multiple surgeries, and she was in the hospital for many, many days. And my heart was breaking for them. And so we were texting and communicating. And then Brother Jeff's uncle, Brother Denver Wood, pastors a church out there, and he was calling and communicating with me. And Brother Denver said that he had come from the hospital, and it was the day that they removed the hoses and the oxygen and stuff from Sister Yesenia, and it was the day that Brother Jeff had to break the terrible news of their losses to his wife. So he's standing there by the bedside, and Yesenia still can't talk. But she asks for a pen, and she writes and says, did our baby make it? And he had to explain, no, the baby didn't survive. And y'all bear with me just a minute here. So and then she asked about the two-year-old. She had seen some things at the scene that made her question, and he explained, no, she didn't make it. And so it was a very tough time. But Sister Yesenia took her pen and she started writing on that pad of paper. And she said, God is good, no. And laid the pen down. And Brother Jeff said in that moment, that brief moment there, he was all kinds of thoughts going through his mind. Did my wife lose her faith? Did she lose her grip on God? Is she questioning God? All of that would seem to be legitimate, wouldn't it? I mean, really, it's some terrible news to have to contemplate when you're suffering in your own body. And so, what does she mean? God is good? No. And about that time, she picked up the pen again and regained her strength and kept writing and added the words, matter what. Now reread it. God is good no matter what. Did you hear what I just said? God is good no matter what. Let me ask you, how does a mother say that if it's not for the settling grace of God? The marvelous, amazing, abundant, abounding grace of God that comes to us in the most unthinkable time in our life. And suddenly there is a strength, there is a purpose, there is a power, there is an ability to say, I don't understand everything that's happening around about me, but it doesn't change my concept of God and my thoughts about God, regardless of what happens in this life. God is good no matter what. Somebody say amen this morning. Would you stand with me and give God some praise as we get ready to pray? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Oh, Lord, we do love you and we praise you today. Grace that settles, makes all to rest evenly, firmly, on a firm foundation. In a word, amen, the grace of God is given to us that we might be complete in Christ, supported in all of our trials and difficulties, strengthened to resist and overcome all our enemies, and after all, abide firmly founded in the truth of what grace really is. We need Him today, church. Still yet, after all of these years, for me, 42 years have I served the Lord. He found me, as you know, a long-haired hitchhiking hippie and saved me. But I need His grace, Brother Brian, today as much as I did 42 years ago. Because I understand more now about what grace is. The five S's of grace, if you'll allow me to put it that way. How about you today? With every head bowed for just a moment, let me ask. You feel like you are in need of some grace? By the way, Sister Yesenia is out of the hospital now, doing quite well, and God continues to strengthen and help her. And God wants to strengthen and help you, my friend. That same grace is available to you today. If you'll receive it, is there someone here today that would, by an upraised hand, just say, Brother Blue, pray for me. Brother Hurst, pray for me. I really need the grace of God in this situation in my life. I'm seeing 2, 3, 4 hands. 5. God knows your situation, and He's got grace for that. He's got grace for that. Maybe there's somebody here today that needs the full measure of grace to salvation. You've got your life in a mess. You feel like you're a long ways away from God. You've made terrible choices. Your life's full of sin and bad choices. I'm telling you, there's grace for that. God wants to forgive you. He wants to save you. He wants to change you. Not because you deserve it, but because He loves you. It's grace. How about it today? Why don't you give your life to Jesus? Why don't you come to God and ask Him if He would save you and forgive you and give you that fresh start? Church, why don't you move towards the altar this morning for a time of prayer? Is this customary, Brother Hurst? I thought it was. But let's move towards the altar, and maybe it'll encourage somebody to blend in with the crowd. Come on. You need grace for salvation? Come and ask Him for it. Make yourself available to it. Let God work a work of salvation in your life today. You need grace to strengthen you, grace to establish you, grace to settle you. How about grace to sanctify? Wrestling with some things in your life, trying to let go, trying to hold on. You need God's grace to perfect you. Let Him shave away today the grace of God. The goodness, the kindness of God. He is accomplishing something in your life. His grace is sufficient. Let's pray, church, as they sing and worship the Lord. Let's worship God with them.